Hey guys, welcome to Love People and Make Money. I'm Kelly McCauzy. I'm your host. I'm so glad I get to spend some time with you today. Before we jump into this episode, I do need to issue a profanity warning. I am swearing in this episode. I have marked the episode explicit, so I want to give you a little countdown so that if you have any little ears in the room and you're not wearing headphones, you can get those headphones on or find a time to listen when they're not around. So, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, no little ears, right? I've written a book with some co-authors, and the name of the book is Get Past Your Shit. Yeah, I'm going to say shit a lot in this episode and in the upcoming episodes where I'm interviewing my co-authors. I might even let the F word fly. So, yeah, that's why I have this little warning in the head of the episode. I'll put this warning on every episode where I swear. I don't always swear. So, you know. But this book, the name of the book is Get Past Your Shit. Yeah, you're going to hear the word. Shit means fears, insecurities, circumstances, limitations, perceived limitations, all the things you let stop you from doing what you want to do in your life and in your business. So rather than say fears, insecurities, circumstances, and perceived limitations, I just say shit. I'm inviting you through these interviews and through the book project to get past your shit. Whew! Let's go. Hey, welcome to Love People and Make Money episode number 51. This is Kelly McCauzy. I'm your host. Tickled pink to spend some time with you today. I have a great guest to introduce you to here in just a hot minute. I've been interviewing all of the co-authors on my book project, Get Past Your Shit, 19 Stories of Imperfect People Who Prove You Can. And man, I think we're just ready to roll right in. Anything else I want to say, I can say after the interview. So. Hey there, listeners. You're back with Kelly, and I'm joined now by my guest, Dr. Melissa Brown. I don't often say doctor, but you are a joyfully retired pediatrician. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Kelly. Joyfully, that's a great word. Yes, I am joyfully retired from practice.
We've known each other for a long time. We've met in person several times, that's right. Which is another joyful thing. And you've been a member of People Power, my private coaching program. You've been a member of Momentum Coaching Mastermind. You've been to Beach Condo. You just do all the things.
I do all the things, and I love it. I love it.
So what do you want people to know about you and your business?
What do I want people to know about me? Well, I love helping mostly women entrepreneurs find their message and get that out through their content. And that could be written content, video content, audio. I'm in the process of launching a podcast.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm focusing now. It's a total different place than pediatrics, which occupied my life for 25 years, and I discovered it wasn't my joy.
You're part of the Get Past Your Shit book project. You're one of the authors. You are chapter 17. The title of that chapter is What If It Were Easy?
That's right. What if it were easy? It took me many years to figure out life didn't have to be so difficult.
So you share, I avoid all the spoilers when we're talking about the chapters, but you did pursue medical school as a single mom in the 70s. Have you always been a rebel?
No, absolutely not. I grew up on a farm and very conservative family. Have not been a rebel. Although if I look back, I guess maybe I was. Women were just starting to get into medical school when I got in. And I think in my whole school, there were only two of us who had children.
Yeah.
So it was not an easy thing to get in. It was not an easy thing to do. And I jokingly say, I guess I had to do it the hard way. And I would not recommend anyone else do it the hard way.
It's funny because you watched even modern day medical television, the women who are in medical school or in their residency, whenever the story includes a pregnancy, there's always a sense of shock and disapproval from their contemporaries. And that's today, you know, in 2020, people are still like, what? No, you're doing this right now. You're not doing that. So I just can't imagine the kind of resistance you had and how you had to rise up to overcome that.
Yeah, it's kind of mind-blowing looking back. And at the time, it was me taking one day at a time thinking, all right, well, this is hard, but I'm going to do it because hard just seemed to be my way of life. And even though nobody else, even the guys who were married in my class, they didn't have kids. Maybe one did, but there were very few people who were trying to raise a family and do medical school at the same time. It was just unheard of.
Yeah. Yeah. When I hear men talk about being a parent in medical school, I always hear about the long-suffering wife who stayed home with the kid, or who worked and was responsible for the kids so that he could focus on his medical education. You did not have that arrangement with your husband at the time.
No, it was difficult. And I started medical school without an apartment, without a babysitter. And I was just determined to do it. Eventually, when we had to do clerkships, where you would have to stay in the hospital overnight, that was our last year. I went to a 3-year medical school that was designed to really turn out doctors. So you didn't have summers off, you didn't have vacations, you just went straight through. So the third year was clinicals, which now I suppose that's the fourth year in most traditional 4-year medical schools. And I had to find someone who was going to watch my children overnight into the next day, because we worked 36 hours straight. And eventually I did find one of the guys in the class, his wife would watch my children overnight.
Yeah. How does that experience of making things hard and powering through, do you still like to make things hard? I asked that question knowing the answer, but.
Well, I try not to. So once in a while, I have to stop myself and think, why is this so difficult? But I like to ask the question, what would this look like if it were easy?
Yeah.
And then I ask for what I want, which that was a lesson I learned late in life. Mm-hmm. Even today, as I'm creating a logo and I get some designs and I'm like, I don't think I really, this is not exactly what I was looking for. And then I have a moment where I think, oh, what are they going to think if I say this is not what I want? But I asked for a revision and there was, the world didn't end. The world did not end.
Man, I have had recent experience with that too, with the book project. I only write for the internet and I have some habits in writing for the internet. And like, for example, subheadlines, the first letter of every word is always capitalized, Kelly style. And that's based on sales copy split testing. Just for some reason, that they're just received better when every word is capitalized. And so I do that everywhere. And so when my proofers were going through, they were undoing that. Meaning like if it was a or to or with or the, they dropped the cap. And then I'm like, putting them back. there's a couple different things where I'm like, hey guys, I just realized I never communicated to you that this is my preference. And sweet Candace and Karen are like, well, but that's not actually print style. And my response is, I know, and that's how I want it. In that moment that I'm saying that, I'm willing to be wrong. I'm willing to be a pain in the ass. I'm willing to have it my way. Even if it, like, even if someone else is like, well, that's dumb. And they didn't say that, of course, because they're like, well, of course it's your book. But yeah, we have to stand up for our vision for the things that we're creating.
It's true. You just reminded me of another situation that happened recently. I'm the editor, the volunteer editor for a newsletter for my Toastmasters district. It's a big district. And I submitted my first ever edition of this. And I got lots and lots of comments back. Oh, this is not the way we do it. Well, then maybe I'm not the right person for this volunteer job. So I had to come to a, either you do it this way, because I'm used to writing for the internet now. Mm-hmm. And this is not going to be printed by most people. So let's do it this way. As long as I'm the editor.
Man, I know you're some people are listening to this and going, oh, like, you can't do that. But what if you can?
Right.
What if you can say, you know, hey, what? I'm very happy to donate my time. And I will do it my way. Or it's okay if you want someone else to do it.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I know there probably are people, but oh, they're thinking you can't do that.
Right. Right. I, oh gosh, we're going to go on down a rabbit trail, but this is my philosophy of any kind of work I do with a client anymore. I like to do it with, so that we can actually like do the little push and pull effort of here's what I suggest and what feels right to you. And meet in the middle. And if I'm working with a client, I hold that your vision is what's most important. And my experience and advice is just something for you to consider. So I don't go, well, damn it, if you're not going to do it my way, go figure it out yourself. But it's like, well, hey, here's what I do and here's why. And what feels good to you. And then whatever they choose, you know, we're going right. to find out.
Yeah. And your experience is so valuable. Well, if they decide that they want to go in a different direction, that's their choice.
Yep. Yep. It's possible in this process for me to let go of a client, in that if what they have a vision to do, I genuinely believe will not work. Mm-hmm. I don't want to help them implement it, and I don't want them paying me to fail. So sometimes I will say, I cannot do it that way. I can't be part of it that way.
I'm always amazed at the number of people who decide something, they're going to do something, and they're doing it the hard way.
Yeah.
And even though, yes, my life has often been filled with doing things the hard way, now I'm starting to see it doesn't have to be like that.
Yeah.
And when I see other people do it, it's like, I want to bite my nails, but yet very often they dig their heels in and say, no, no, this has to be done this way. I just had a conversation today with someone who I think she's going to end up having a divorce over it because she's wanting her husband to videotape her and they couldn't get it right. And he threw up his hands in frustration. And I said, just do it. It doesn't have to be perfect. Let go of it being perfect.
Yeah.
And at the end of the conversation, she said, I think you're right. I just got to do it.
Yeah.
I said, as long as you're not videotaping your toes, you know, it doesn't matter if you're not in the center of the camera.
Yeah.
Perfectly. So yeah, people, it's so easy to spot it now when people have to do things the hard way and they won't let go of perfection and so much spinning of wheels when that happens.
This, so yeah, thank you. You just segue perfectly over into us talking about the book project, because the headline on the back of the book is, are you waiting for perfection to make your move? You didn't know that, did you?
I didn't know that.
You know, so our book project is Get Past Your Shit, 19 stories of imperfect people who prove you can. And every one of us, the act of getting past our shit has to include giving up being perfect. So many people are saying, well, I can't do that. I'm not ready. Or I can't do that because people won't accept that from me. I don't have that education. You know, my own story of like, I can't show up and be on stages. I'm too fat. Like if, and I genuinely thought for a good 20 years, I'll figure this all out. I'll lose the weight and then I'll do it. I'll get the better education and then I'll do it. I stayed stuck and I stayed frozen thinking that I can't do it if it isn't just right.
Oh, I see so many people with that still to this day. Certification after certification after certification. And then they never launch anything. They never do anything. They never offer anything. They have no clients.
Yep.
But they just got to get that next degree or certification.
Yeah. Yeah. If we believe there is one right way to do something, then we'll look for the right actions to get us there. And certifications and training programs and taking another course and participating in another coaching program feels like those are the right moves. And maybe they are. But the whole point of getting past your shit is that, man, you can line them all up like little ducks. And your ego will still suggest something still isn't right. And you're still not ready. And, you know, to your point, you might have poured $100,000 into the effort.
Yeah.
And still be completely stuck in your shit.
So. Yeah, and I tell people, you don't need to be perfect. It's not like you're doing brain surgery here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want your brain surgeon to be perfect, even though there is no such thing as perfection. But we're talking internet marketing. You can always monitor, adjust. I used to use the word pivot. And just this week, someone said to me, there is no pivot. When you think about it, pivoting, you have one foot in the same place and you move around that foot. But what I was talking about was actually monitoring, making adjustments, moving. So when you're pivoting, you're not actually moving. So I thought that was a really, really interesting analogy.
It is. It is. I read an email from that person where she shared what she meant about that.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. So Melissa, why did you want to participate in the book project?
There were a lot of reasons. You, Kelly, is one of the reasons. You've taught me a lot about getting past my shit. And I debated and thought, well, if there's one person who's spinning their wheels, stuck in, being perfect, taking the hard road to life, if I can help that one person, then I'm a hell yes. And hopefully there are more people who will read my chapter and get past their shit.
You haven't read the other stories yet.
No, right? I am waiting. So anxious.
You're waiting to get the copy of the book in your hands, which honestly, most of the authors are. There's only a couple people that are just like, oh, I can't wait. I've got to see it. I am impressed by the breadth of the stories, you know, the different, there's some things that are similar, like your story, your, where you are at in life reminds me a bit of Jana Scrotch, because you both had, you know, very full, long, you know, careers, mm-hmm. and could be just saying, I'm done, I'm retired, peace out, but you are pursuing, you know, your next, you're fulfilling this call you have on your life to lead and help. And so women of an age where they might be wondering if there's any time left to fulfill a vision will be really encouraged by your story and Jana's story. And Sweet Hazel, who's almost 80 as she wrote her chapter. But man, we've got so many great stories. It just so happened to end up being only women. It wasn't intended that way. Like, men could have participated. They just didn't. But man, they're so good. Guys will like the story too. There's nothing about this book that a man can't relate to. To be honest. I mean, men have shit too. So.
That's true. Yes. Men have shit too.
So what's an example of something you let be easy recently?
Well, the logo was just in the last couple of days. Asking in a restaurant, I used to just, something came wrong. If I had ordered it in a special way or asked for something different and it came, I would never ask for it to be taken back and fixed. Never. Yeah. And now I can do that. I asked for an upgrade on a plane. Actually, I didn't even ask for an upgrade. I just asked for a seat next to a friend of mine. And we got upgraded just by asking. And they took our luggage and didn't charge us anything. So it opened my eyes for so many things to just ask, simple things.
So asking for what you want leads to things getting easier.
Yes. And the more you do it, the more you ask for the things you want, it becomes easier to ask for things you want.
Yeah.
I grew up in an era, I think, where if you asked for what you wanted, you became labeled, well, I guess we can say shit, so we can say bitch. Yeah. You were labeled a bitch.
Yeah.
So you grow up with that as a limiting belief that you can't ask for something that's different, or mm-hmm. the old saying about you get what you get and you don't get upset becomes so ingrained that you just think, all right, well, I should just be grateful for what I've got because it's possible that I couldn't even have had that.
Yeah, I think about you get what you get. Like, I've only been through one hurricane in my life. It was Hurricane Elena in St. Petersburg. I was 19. I got evacuated out of my apartment and I was at the high school. And I had nothing. I mean, I hardly kept food in my apartment. So I had nothing to bring with me. And when people were getting hungry, you know, we go back to the little kitchen and the gal throws a peanut butter sandwich at me. And she said, and I looked at it. I didn't look at it disapprovingly. I was just looking at it to see what is it. And she said, don't even, you get what you get. Meaning, don't even think you have a choice here. And I was just like, thank you. I'm going to go eat my peanut butter sandwich. But there's a situation where I actually do makeup, but it would be kind of rude to go, like, do you have something different? Now, unless I had an allergy to peanuts, then I would say, oh, yeah. But there are situations where shit is crazy. And to be that person who's like, hey, can I have something different? Makeup, that there are situations where you might be a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. And even then, I'm probably not going to judge you for checking. Because who knows, maybe she's got a whole fridge full of chicken salad back there. Why not ask? So I guess even there, it's never bad to ask. You get to ask, they get to answer.
Mm-hmm. And let go of the outcome. Yep. You don't need to attach to, it has to be this way. You know, in eye makeup, that there are situations where people ask, they're never happy with what they've got, and they ask for something more.
Yeah.
And yeah, we have to look at the situation or the person or
yeah,
like the peanut butter sandwich. There may not have been anything else you could have had.
Yeah.
But you're right. She could have had chicken salad. She might have had lobster salad back there.
We are so programmed on this. You know, I was programmed that it's rude to ask. So my mother, if I asked, like, for example, if I was hanging out with my cousins and I asked my aunt, can I spend the night? My mom would be so pissed. Like, you don't ask, you wait to be invited. And if my aunt said, sure, she would say, no, that it was rude of her to ask. She cannot spend the night. My aunt would be like, but we want her to stay. No. Like, it was like, because I asked out of my mom's perspective of the right way to do it. Boom, done. So I can see where it got drilled into me that asking is just dangerous.
True.
You know, it's going to create a consequence. And so getting me to ask for what I want was huge. It was huge. And now, like, damn. There's still some things I struggle with and have to really step through, but I get a hell of a lot more that I want now that I ask. The 7-month-old is happy to be here. Oh gosh, Melissa, thank you so much for making time to talk about the book project.
Thank you, Kelly.
This was a lot of fun. I always like to ask, what was it like to work with Karen?
Oh, Karen was great. I was stuck initially with my chapter.
Yeah.
I wasn't exactly sure what direction I wanted to take it, and I missed the deadline. I missed the first deadline, and I emailed her, and she was fabulous. She's like, just walk away from it. You probably just need to give it a 24 hours, give it a day. She was wonderful. And
yeah.
When she read my first draft, she was great with her revisions. She was a gem.
I'm still pinching myself over the opportunity to work with her. I don't know how we could have gotten this book I'm so freaking proud of it. I don't think we could have gotten there without her help. You know, each and every one of us, she gave so much of herself to it.
Yes. I can't wait to read the book.
I know.
I can't wait to get my box with the books and dive into it.
It was, oh my gosh, I was just giddy. We're fulfilled through Amazon KDP. And I was a little worried about timeline. I was originally going to have the book shipped to me and then ship them to you guys, but that might have really created a pinch. So KDP lets me straight up send author copies anywhere I want, really inexpensively. So it actually costs me less than I thought it was going to send everybody 5 copies, but yours is on the way.
All right. So exciting.
I got mine really fast. Like the order form said you might not get it till October 1st, but I'm hoping you get surprised sooner than that.
I'll be watching for the mail.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you very much, Kelly.
Welcome back. You're here with Kelly on episode number 51 of Love People and Make Money, wrapping up this great episode. Man, I love talking to Melissa. She's truly one of my favorite people. She's one of my favorite clients. She is devoted to learning everything she can, implementing everything she can, always willing to evaluate and make a new decision that creates more of what she wants in her business. She's got a podcast of her own coming up here pretty soon. I don't want to spill the beans, but I'll be sure to share it with you when it happens. So where can you get your copy of the book? And where could you order some gift copies for friends? Go to getpastyourshit.com. When you buy the book there, you can claim a free gift from me, the Get Past Your Shit Group Coaching Intensive. That is running live November 3rd through the 19th. 6 sessions over the course of 3 weeks, supporting you in getting past your shit. November 3rd is my birthday, so we'll be celebrating. I'm so excited about this, man. I can't wait for you to meet the next co-author. I have so many of these interviews to do, and I'm doing the editing in a batch, and so I get to experience it once when I'm recording it. I get to experience it again when I'm editing it. And I get to experience it all over again when I publish and promote it. But you're experiencing it right here and right now. And I hope that you are feeling really inspired and motivated by all of these amazing people who've been so brave and vulnerable to share their stories so you too can get past your shit. So good. All right. See you in the next episode.